Stalemate, standoff, showdown, call it what you will. Washington, D.C. has reached another impasse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, and for Steve Chiatakis. Most lawmakers have gone home for the holidays without coming up with an agreement on the payroll tax cut. If Congress can't get a bill through by next year, taxes will go up, and 2 million people out of work will lose unemployment benefits. Republican Congressman Bob Gibbs from Ohio voted against the bipartisan Senate agreement to extend the cut through February. He joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
So you all are insisting that any extension would need to be at least a year long, but by voting down the 2-month extension, there is the risk of not getting any extension at all. Is it worth it?
Well, let's talk about the process. Last week, the United States House of Representatives, we passed out a bill, sent that over to the Senate, and the Senate changed it. They have every right to change it. And they sent it back to us, and it's called the Senate Amendments to the bill. And the way our founding fathers set the system up, we have the ability to either agree with the Senate changes, or we can say we don't agree, and that should put in the conference, I should say, to work out the differences in the bill. Yesterday, Speaker Boehner appointed the conferees for the House, and they're in Washington, D.C. with leadership, waiting for Senator Reid to appoint the conferees from the Senate to sit down and work out the differences, and there isn't that much difference to work out. I think it can be worked out.
Now, tied into the payroll tax extension is also an extension of benefits for the long-term unemployed. Without a deal, some of these folks will lose benefits in January. How concerned are you about that?
I'm really concerned, and like I said, I don't want it to happen. And I feel that, you know, as a member of the United States House of Representatives, I've done my part to ensure that doesn't happen. And right now the ball's in Senator Reid's and the United States Senate's court. I beg them, all they need to do is appoint their conferees.
Now, the approval rating for Congress right now is at an all-time low. According to a new Gallup poll, just 11% in December. Why do you think that is?
People are frustrated, just like I am, because I think the process is so broken. People are just frustrated that they think that we're not getting along. And the Senate just needs to, you know, work the way it's supposed to work. And we send them bills and they send us bills. It's frustrating because I've got two bills of those almost 30 bills that Speaker Boehner talks about a lot. They're bills to help improve the climate here in the United States and for business climate to get people back to work. And the Senate doesn't even have hearings on them. You know, let's at least have open debate and vote on them, change them, send them back. That's how you make good policy. But when you go behind closed doors and try to negotiate at the last minute when deadlines are coming up, that's not the way to function. I think that's why American people are frustrated and angered at Congress. And I can tell you, if I was giving Congress a rating, it'd be lower than that because it's the process is broken.
Congressman Bob Gibbs, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Now, let's do the numbers. Asian markets are up today. European markets are down. Today, the European Union's highest court ruled that the EU can force all airlines flying into Europe to pay for the pollution they cause. This is going to make U.S. airlines grumpy. They'd appealed the rule. Wall Street managed a little holiday cheer yesterday. The Dow closed up 337 points at 12,103.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
Later this morning, we'll get another clue about the shape of the housing market, November's existing home sales numbers. Analysts expect they'll show some improvement, but it's tough out there, no doubt about it. Consider one part of Atlanta where homes are now selling for less than the price of a used car. Jim Burris reports from WABE.
On paper, 434 James P. Brawley Drive sounds like the American dream. A 3-bedroom ranch, fenced yard, a front porch, and walking distance to the best downtown Atlanta has to offer.
God help me, Lord. That's the American nightmare.
Neighbor Makeda Johnson can't wrap her head around the fact that 434 Brawley, a house that sold a few years ago for $124,000, was unloaded last week for just a few grand.
breaks my heart, because if that house sold for $2,000 and another one sold for $15,000, then I probably got the most expensive house in the community at $55,000.
That's what Johnson says her house is now worth. She paid three times that. At the height of the housing boom, speculators thought the neighborhood would pay big returns. So they came in, driving up prices. Then the bubble burst.
There's no options to sell my house. There's absolutely no options.
Johnson lives in the Vine City neighborhood. It and adjoining English Avenue have become the face of the housing crisis in Atlanta. Since the bust, urban decay has crept back into the neighborhood, where you're more likely to see boarded windows than a welcome mat.
Be willing to rethink what a better future looks like.
Mercedes Marquez is an assistant secretary with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. She says sometimes the answer for decaying neighborhoods is tearing down homes and starting over. Dozens of homes in and around Vine City have already been demolished, but even new homes sit abandoned. That's because the problem isn't as much about home prices as it is the larger economy, says Harley Etienne. He's assistant professor of city and regional planning at Georgia Tech.
You can't throw money at housing when the real issue is jobs.
Neighbors hope plans for a Walmart will provide a needed grocery store, jobs, and validation that their community isn't a lost cause. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally, a new study finds people are more likely to lie when they're texting. Texting lets folks communicate without worrying about their body language giving them away. According to the LA Times, researchers also found that people who'd been lied to were much more upset if they'd been lied to over text than face-to-face. All of which makes me reconsider my less than forthcoming "I'll be there in a minute" text messages. Sorry, everybody. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Ah, the joys of Christmas.
Christmas was always a really big deal in my family, even though we're all Hindus. But I think the reason why it was such a big deal is that it was kind of new for my parents, too.
Now, imagine your job is to write the Christmas episode for a hit TV show. I'm Kai Rizdahl, Mindy Kaling from The Office, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.